Bon, ding, ding, ding. Bing, ding, ding, ding. Doo, ra, ra, doo. Bum, ba, bum. Ding, doo, ga, ding.
I almost forgot today was Fat Tuesday, to be honest with you. Lindsay had to remind me.
Yeah, I didn't know that today was like, or this week was Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Because I told you I'm going down to New Orleans on Friday to go visit Tulane University. I didn't know this was Mardi Gras week. Is there something I should be doing down there this weekend?
Yeah, right. You did that on purpose.
No, totally true story. As a matter of fact, if I could get out of going this weekend, I would get out of it. I'd try my best to get out of it. I'd love to not go.
Yeah. I mean,
is Mardi Gras still going on like this upcoming weekend? Today's Tuesday. This upcoming weekend, is it still a happening thing?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Oh, really?
Mardi Gras is like a long celebration.
I've never been.
And I'm sure you've been to New Orleans, right?
I've been to New Orleans many times, but I've never been for Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
I've been for Super Bowls. I've been for Sugar Bowls. I've been for Monday night and Sunday night football games. I've never been for Mardi Gras.
So Mardi Gras basically in New Orleans goes for about 2 weeks. I would say it's right. I want to say up to Ash Wednesday.
Why do you think your daughter wants to visit this week?
You know, I wish that we were as good a planners as you are giving us credit for, but it really was a matter of the school had a couple of different weekends where you could go, and I didn't want to go in February. I wanted to wait until early March. I was still kind of hoping that we'd hear from UCLA before we had to go down there.
I mean, I texted Martin Jarman yesterday, but not about that.
Oh, really?
Well, wait, you want to know what? We can't have – our phones don't work for their – till further notice. So.
Right, so we can't have him on anyway, even if we wanted to. But he can't do it right now anyway. So
bummer.
Yeah.
Why can't
But we could
do
have
What's
had you. You could have sold him on your daughter.
Yeah, I mean, I would have just liked for
I
him
probably
to...
should rephrase that. Could have sold him as on your daughter as an athlete.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to sell her.
Yes.
To him.
Yes.
Just to UCLA as an institution.
Correct.
Yeah. So when I go down to New Orleans this Friday, you mean to tell me that Friday and Saturday night it is
full-blown
Mardi Gras?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Yeah.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
Seriously, I don't think I want any part of that, dude.
Why not?
I mean, just enjoy it. Is just you and your daughter?
Yeah, me and her.
Oh, that'll be fun then. How old is she?
She's 18.
It's fine.
What's the drinking age down in New Orleans? Is it 21?
It's the United States of America. I don't know if you realize that, but
no,
it's 21
years old. No, I didn't
realize
it was a federal law.
Did you literally just ask that? Like,
that's right.
That
I did. That's right.
I mean, what planet are you on?
Well,
it's
not
Canada, Cap.
Oh, really? In Canada, it's younger?
Yeah,
yeah,
if you would send her to the University of Toronto, you'd have a better shot of, you know, drinking with her.
What about the University of Cabo? That's what, 18 down in Mexico, isn't it?
I think it's 18 in Mexico. I know it's 19 in Canada.
I mean, it's 18-ish.
18-ish?
Yeah.
Right? But you see, New Orleans has to be 18-ish too, right?
No.
How it works.
I mean, maybe you'll find it. Like, here's what you could do. Nobody's going to tell you you can't buy two drinks. If you're there as her father and you're with her, and you're okay with her drinking, like, you're a grown-ass man. She's an adult. She could literally go off to war. Like, I think the 21-year-old drinking age is stupid, personally. But especially if you're accompanied by an adult, if you want to buy her a drink, go get a drink and bring it outside.
Yeah, my other daughter and I, we walked into a bar in Nashville, Tennessee. She was 18. And I think the bouncer looked at me, and he looked at her, and he probably thought to himself, well, it's kind of like a rated R movie. You know, as long as she's accompanied by an adult, he's fine. She's fine. Let him go. Let him do their thing. So I assume that's what it'll be like in New Orleans. I swear to you guys, though, I really did not know that it was Mardi Gras this week or weekend. And now I'm like,
but your daughter might. And she just didn't, like, lead you on to believe that, you know?
Yeah, but it's okay. Tulane is a great school. It's, like, fun. It's nice. It's a good school. All that. It'll be great.
Yeah,
she'll enjoy
it's too
it.
Expensive. Anybody got another job?
I mean,
for me?
is it a private school? I don't know.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Anybody got like a fourth job for me? Anybody?
I mean, bro.
I feel you, Cap. I'm looking for another one.
I know, right?
Tell her to sell her Gucci purse.
Wait a second. She's just walked into the studio. I mean, my living room. She just told me that today is the last day of Mardi Gras.
What?
No.
No.
No. Everybody's saying you're wrong, Jaden. I'm telling you, George Sedano at
I
Unique.
Will Google this.
At Unique and Lindsay Baseball, because I like to use her last name because I like to play Sedano and Cap Bingo, they say you're wrong, that today is not the last day of
I think he might be right. She might be right, though, because I feel like...
No, listen. I'm looking at it right here.
Okay.
The holiday of Mardi Gras is celebrated in all of Louisiana, including the city of New Orleans. Celebrations are concentrated for 2 weeks before and through Shrove Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday.
So it
started 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Then there you go. Yeah, then it is today's day.
Because you have to give everything up for Lent, which means Ash Wednesday is the first day that you're like going
to. So is Ash Wednesday tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know. See, I'm a terrible Catholic.
Well, you're a terrible Catholic. You think about me. I'm the Hebrew brother. When I was in college and kids would go for Ash Wednesday and then they'd have like the ashes on their forehead, I was so unaware of what was going on in life. I was like, come here, darling. You have a little schmutz right here. Come here. I lick my thumb. I go, come here. Let me get that off your forehead. I mean, I was completely lost on Ash Wednesday, you know? Come here, Bubba. Come here. You got a little schmutz right here on your forehead. I'll clean it off for you. I'll lick my thumb and then clean it off your forehead because I'm sure you want my saliva on my thumb on your forehead.
That is disgusting.
It is.
So there
disgusting.
You go. You don't have to do it. I mean, look, it's still New Orleans. There's still going to be plenty of people there.
Yeah, but maybe people will give drinking up for Lent.
Nah, man. No. Not New Orleans. Ain't
nobody can have that for
Lent. No.
Anybody here
listen, I love
up?
New Orleans. Do you, I mean, love I've New got Orleans. I've been there a bunch. I mean, look, when Zion's first year playing, I might have been. I felt like, you know, people were telling me I should buy an apartment there because I was there so often. Yeah. So yeah, I'm with you. It's but it's a nice, like, I love it there. It's not for everybody, but I'm good with it.
Okay, so today is Fat Tuesday, and tomorrow's Ash Wednesday.
I always thought Fat. I had that wrong. That's wild. I always thought Ash Wednesday was like 2 weeks from now. And whatever.
All right, so tomorrow we got to give something up for Lent.
No, I don't
for
have to 40 give
days.
For Lent. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, listen. Why don't we do this? I'm not even Catholic. Let's all make a commitment to give something up for Lent.
Absolutely not.
No chance.
Not sold. I will. I always give something up for Lent.
No, I never give up anything.
Like, that's how I became.
You know what
a
I do? I just act like a good person every day. Okay, that's what I do.
What a sweetheart! What an angel!
Aww. I mean, what the hell do I got to give something up for?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not Catholic, but
I'm not either, to be honest with you, anymore.
Oh, anymore?
What are you giving up, Cap? What would you give up?
I probably will give up like casual sex.
Did
George say the Lakers, and I said casual sex?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I'd give up casual sex is because I don't have it anymore.
So that's you can't do that, though. Like, that's what people do when they're just being, like, lazy Catholics. And they're like, well, I'm going to give up pizza, but, like, they never even eat pizza. You know? That's just, that's like a cop-out.
I'm going to give up broccoli.
I'm going to give up watching MTV because I haven't seen it in, like, 35 years. I mean, is that something
I
can give up?
Listen, here's my thing. Listen, I'm not trying to tell anyone what to do, obviously, by any stretch of the imagination. I grew up in a Catholic household. I have not been religious. I have not been to a church outside of a like some sort of wedding or religious services for someone maybe who passed away, like a baptism or something like that in easily 20 years.
Oh my.
And I'm fine. Like I feel like faith, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe people, you know, are yelling at their radio right now. But I feel like faith is something that's for the individual. I feel like I have plenty of faith. I just am not religious. I feel like there's a distinction there.
I went to a Catholic church for Easter a few years back when the new pope got, I don't know, what do you call it when the new pope comes into office? You know, what is that called? There must be a term for that.
He comes into office.
Yeah, like when he takes the pledge, you know, he's coming into office. I'm the new pope. What's going on?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
I love this new pope. You know, I love this guy.
Well, this guy, he's very progressive, this new pope.
Yeah,
he's very unpopey.
I was so interested in the pope that I was like, you know what? I had a bunch of Catholic friends. They're like, hey, if you like the pope so much, why don't you come to church for Easter? I went. Sat in the front row, too.
Look at you.
Yeah, how about that? That was the last time I was there. Although, I did go to a Catholic wedding not that long ago, and I said to the priest before the wedding, I was in the wedding, I was like, listen, Father, if you don't mind, when you do the whole wafer thing, like, I don't want that. So just know that it's me, and I don't really want it. You know, I'm Jewish. You know, and he was so. Then the service starts, and he comes around, and he's standing right there, like, no, you're taking this thing. So I had no choice. I open my mouth. He puts the thing in my mouth, and then he walks away to the next guy.
But you didn't have to go up and do the thing, though. You know.
Yeah,
that,
no,
right?
He actually came to me because I was part of the wedding party.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
And then I specifically told him, like, at the rehearsal dinner, I'm like, hey, it's cool. I'm Jewish. I don't need the thing. You know, let's not do that. And he gave it to me anyway, and I wasn't going to take it with my hand, so he put it in
mouth. On your tongue, yeah.
Yeah, and then I sat there, and I held it on my tongue, not chewing it or swallowing it, and then when he moved on, I pulled it out of my mouth. I put it in my pocket. And then the sister of the bride, they were real Catholic people, you know, they were hardcore. She's like, I saw what you did. He put that wafer in your mouth, and you took it and put it in your pocket. And I was like, yeah, what do you want me to do with it? And she's like, give it to me. So I gave it to her, and she grabbed it, and she ate it right in front of me.
Ooh, that right it was there. Already in your mouth?
Correct.
You think maybe she wanted more than just the thing? You
know, nah, like, no, nah, I think this
when
was
it came
just,
to you? Like,
nah, I don't think so.
Was
I don't
she
think
into
she,
you?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
That was weird. I would never have done that. I would have guessed, like, you know, I don't know. I don't understand the logic of doing that part of the equation. Like, I'm not, again, I'm not, like, super, I did that when I was a kid a ton, not put it in my pocket. Like, I would actually take the host or whatever. But, yeah, just not a super religious person. Like, again, I believe in God. I'm a man of faith. I just am not a religious person. I think religion is, you know, I mean, we don't have to get into that.
I don't know. All I know is I didn't know today was Fat Tuesday. I didn't
By the
know
way,
tomorrow was Ash Wednesday.
O'Shea just texted in. He says, I gave up Russell Westbrook.
I'm with him.
Really? I'm going to give up Anthony Davis. If you guys are already taking Russell
Damn.
Westbrook, I'm giving up on AD.
No, that's like giving up you saying that you're giving up casual sex. Like, he's not playing, so you can't give up Anthony Davis.
Excellent point, Lindsay.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Excellent point.
All right. I would have given up DeAndre Jordan, but, you know.
He's already
Look, here are a couple of tweets rolling in. This one from at JustWinBaby23. It's all good, my brother's tweeting at me. Religion won't save us, but our relationship with God will. So do good deeds. Yes, that's my thing. Just be a good person, man, and you'll be fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's just me. Siobhan Monterrosa.
See?
She tweets and says, at Sedano, institutions can absolutely overshadow faith.
You know, my roommate always says, be the person that your dog thinks you are.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder what my dog thinks I am.
Oh, yeah, you.
Oh, right. Boy.
Right. He doesn't even, he like, come to you when you call him. Right. You're like, hey, come here, Jack, and he just ignores you.
He's right. Like, oh, this mother bleeper.
Right, he's like, this is the guy that won't get me back surgery should I fall and break my back.
Yeah. And yet he just keeps feeding me, so all I keep getting is fatter.
Although I have been taking him on some very healthy walks recently.
Yeah.
Then he just comes home and passes out and snores all over the place.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I was obviously wrong about the dates on Ash Wednesday and Fat Tuesday. And
Can
Lent
someone
and
please
that
mark
stuff.
That tape where George said I was wrong? I mean, I just want to mark that and pull that out
well,
so that we have it.
I
tell you, when I'm wrong, I will say it. When I'm not, I will fight you to the death.
Yeah.
But we were all wrong about something, okay? And I'm going to tell you what that's about on the other side.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, yeah. It is Sedano and Kappa, Fat Tuesday, live imaging, boys. How about this?
Yeah.
Where's Sedano?
Sedano.
Yeah.
How we doing, boys? I heard you missed me a little bit yesterday.
I know. Why always miss you when you're not doing this?
Happy 28th birthday. The one and only Biebs. Justin Bieber's 28 today. Cap, what's your favorite Justin Bieber song?
28. That's all he is? Really?
Well,
that guy's not like 45 years old?
He's lived hard.
Forever.
Pot it up.
Baby, you know what my favorite Justin Bieber song is?
Yes, Cap.
It's called Keyshawn Smack Me in the Back of My Head for Speeding Through the Neighborhood. That's
I was
my
actually
favorite
gonna
one.
Say something. That was the exact thing I was gonna say.
One of our first bits on the original morning show was Bieber calling in, which was our friend, the great Kelvin Washington.
yes, it's right.
Hey, Key, it's Bieber.
We had Kelvin Bieber. Kelvin call in. I do remember that. And act like he was Justin Bieber. And he kind of sounded like Bieber
a little bit. Yeah.
He did.
That it's also funny. National Pancake Day.
Oh, I know. I wish I would have known this earlier. I would have had pancakes earlier.
You put a little butter on there, then you slather it
around. I know, but it's
it
also Taco Tuesday. You can't have pancakes.
Taco Tuesday on a Fat Tuesday?
Yeah.
Well, you could have pancakes on National Pancake Day, and you could have Taco Tuesday all on Fat Tuesday, and we could all get, you know, heftier.
I don't know if you mentioned in the first segment, because I was trying to pull a line to get the stream back up, but then I got some dust on me, so we didn't work that. It's not worked out yet.
There
We're still working
on
it.
On you?
What are you giving up for Lent?
I offered to immediately give up casual sex.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Cap. We got new people in the building.
I know, but the thing is I don't have that anymore, so it's not apparently something I
can give up. Oh, is she gone finally?
I told him he's trying to cheat because he says he doesn't have it, so that means you can't give something up that you don't have.
Well, wait, weren't you just like on a beach with her, like bike riding on Sunday or something?
Oh, no. So I'm still involved in the relationship.
He has regular sex, not just casual. Thank
you. What he's saying is casual is just strange.
Yeah. I say you give up Rachel for Lent. The Lenten season. Let's see. Just give up.
I don't know if I can do that. I'm addicted.
I got to get ashes tomorrow, so I got to figure out what to do.
Rob Manfred clearly gave up baseball.
Oh, that's a good segue. I'll be back in minutes, boys.
Yeah. That was a funny
joke. Very strong.
No, that was – I want to credit the person who tweeted it, at DavidSFV93. So.
Way to go, David. Way to write for the show, man. Good job.
I told you, if you write funny stuff, I will read it, and we will all laugh together. So.
We also said that if you call in character, we'll put you on the air, but now the phones don't work, so forget about
that. Right, we can't do that. So even Kelvin Washington couldn't come as and call in as Justin Bieber like he did many years ago on the morning show, on the original morning show. Because we don't have a phone.
Oh, man. So you said
– falling apart at the seams.
No. We're rebuilding it at the seams.
Yeah.
George Sedano, you said
– I said?
That we were all wrong about something. You said, I'll tell you what we were all wrong about after traffic. And then you said, Kiki, what do you got? And then she did traffic, and then there were commercials, and now we're back. So what were we all wrong about?
How could we have all been so wrong about the Lakers? Like, so wrong. Like, forget about, okay, you know, championship or whatever. Okay, whatever. But, like, 8 games in, Kaplan. I am not, you know me for a long time. I'm not a knee-jerker, right? I generally will be like, nah, give it some time. I'm fairly patient when it comes to that stuff. Like, it's a long season. But, 8 games in, I started this show. And I told you, I have made a huge mistake with this team. And remember, everybody called and said I was an alarmist, blah, blah, blah. And look where we're at, you know, like 60 games into the season or whatever it's been. And it's like, I don't understand. How we could have all, and, you know, clearly I'm not alone, right? Like, everyone thought at least they'd be a play. No one thought they'd be this, you know, like, where they're a game and a half or 2 games up on, like, the 11 seed at the moment.
Well, that's exactly right. Meaning, when Russ joined the Lakers, I remember being on the air and people celebrating, like, it's automatic, book it. It's a done deal. Lakers win their 18th title this upcoming season. And people were jumping for joy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Russ is back in L.A. He's an L.A. kid. He's a UCLA guy. He's back. And now here comes Brody. And I was like, and I'll still say this. I was like, why does everybody call him Brody? Like, I was trying to put together Russ, Russell, Rusty, Russ. Like, where did Brody come from? Like, I never heard that before. And people were celebrating like, oh, Brody's back. And I'm like. From the very beginning, I was like, guys, I'm not so sure this is going to work personality-wise, but I admit it. I got caught up in the hype.
Yeah.
Okay? I get caught up. Oh, yeah, LeBron and AD's going to be healthy, and now they add the triple-double machine, and and Carmelo's coming now, and Dwight's coming back now. I mean, we even got excited about Trevor Ariza.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think
at least we kind of were like, hey, you know, we've got a bunch of veteran guys, you know?
No one really.
We even were making things up like hey, veteran teams in the NBA win.
They do. Well, that's historically accurate, though.
Right. Veteran teams, not old guy teams.
No, but generally the old guy teams are the veteran teams.
Yeah, but this team.
I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks last year were like the second oldest team in the sport last year.
And what was their average age? Do you recall?
It was probably like 30. But they had, obviously. But even this team, like their average age, because they have young guys on the roster, is like around 30.
Right. Well, let's remove guys like Austin Reeves.
No, but you don't. When you do the average age, you got to average in even those guys. Like that's
all right,
the reality.
Well, I'm going to do a different average. I'm going to do the average age of all the guys. I'm going to call LeBron, Carmelo, Dwight, Ariza, AD. I'll throw in a couple other guys, Avery Bradley. Throw in a couple other names here or there. You're right. It will balance itself out. But the truth of the matter is the top 7-8 guys on this team, they're old. And LeBron told us all, bring it all season. Remind me. But he was wrong then. And now his tweet is being used against him this late in the season.
Yeah. Yes.
Old geezers. That's what Barkley calls him.
I'm trying to remember. I know Russ has had a dog named Brody. But I'm pretty sure he just referred to himself as Brody on social media one time. Like, I think that's just kind of how it started.
Yeah, I just remember people were like, Brody's here, Brody's back, Brody with the Lakers. And I was like, I don't want to be the dumb guy who asks everybody where the nickname Brody comes from. But now that this thing has turned into a disaster, I'm just going to be the dumb guy and go, why did we all do that? And we were celebrating with this nickname, Brody's back, yes! Like,
but
now it's like,
I mean, so many people were wrong about that, though.
Everybody.
Because even the people that said, oh, they're not going to win a championship because they're too old, those people didn't think they were going to be like this.
Even the people who said that the Russell Westbrook thing will not work.
Right.
Even those guys didn't think it would be this.
Right. They didn't think it would be this bad. They thought like, oh, they're just not championship good. But they didn't think they'd be the ninth seed.
And wait a second. They're the ninth seed today.
Right. Now they're playing Dallas tonight, who's playing pretty damn well. And Luka is on a tear, and their defense is really good. And Jason Kidd knows this Lakers team, you know, and their tendencies. Like, this could get ugly tonight, too.
Or they could win this game tonight.
I mean, of course, it's possible. It's 1 of 82, so there's right. that.
Well, I'm trying sure. to put myself in LeBron's mindset. You know, like, you come back from the All-Star break.
Yeah.
First game is against the Clippers, and there's this crazy, bizarre ending of the game, and the,
yeah.
and the Lakers lose in a close
Insane.
Game.
The last 26 seconds took, like, 20 minutes. Yes.
Right. So, hard-fought game.
Yeah.
And one that you could actually look in the mirror afterwards and say, hey, you know what? We actually played yeah. with some heart and some fight. It just yeah. we got beat tonight.
Let me
okay,
ask you
no
a question. Do you think they look at themselves in the mirror and talk to themselves like that?
I do. I think yeah. they do.
You talk
I know
to yourself
I
in the mirror?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times.
What do you say to yourself in the mirror?
I say to myself, I look at myself, I look right in my eyes, and I take a really, really good look at myself. And then yeah. whatever the conversation needs to be at the time, I say, I'm starting with the man in the mirror, you know? I'm asking him to make a change.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew it.
Right.
Asking him to change his ways.
Correct.
For Lent.
Right, for Lent. but seriously, I think that LeBron could feel decent yeah. about the first loss coming out of the All-Star break.
Okay.
Then, because they put so much into it and lost the game,
yeah.
then it's just like a disaster the next game, which we just
a
saw.
A disaster!
Correct. Now, you've had a couple of days, not that long, but you know that everybody's pounding on you. America is doing this dance like, yeah, LeBron's down. The Lakers stink. This is awesome. It's what everybody's talking about. So tonight, in a game where you think it's pretty obvious Dallas is going to destroy these guys, this yeah. is the night where these guys show up and actually
and
win this
say,
game.
And they say, we're reversing the trend tonight, is what you're
right.
saying. So what
right.
happens if they don't?
Well, then the spiral yeah. downward continues. And when you talk about being a nine seed, we might not be talking about the play-in. We might be talking about LeBron choosing to shut it down and the Lakers just limping into the offseason.
Well,
no
you know,
playoffs.
LeBron was very anti the play-in, if you remember.
I do remember last year. That's right.
He was anti the play-in. Now, the play-in absolutely, you know, got him into the playoffs. So are you saying he should protest and not play in the play-in is what you're saying?
I'm saying that if LeBron decides here in the next couple of days,
uh-huh.
if we can't get a win, the smart thing for a 37-year-old guy who realizes his team isn't going to win a championship,
just sit
the
it
smart
out.
Thing is to just say I'm done for the year.
Yeah, but you'd crush him if he did that.
I don't know that I'd crush him. See, there's two sides to this. There's
okay,
the,
tell me the two sides on the other right? side. We I'm got a two-minute break. We're back in dos minutos.
Oh, yeah. It is Sedano and Cap Fat Tuesday around 4:30 in the Southland. That's how you know it's live, guys.
Yeah.
Because we're under construction. We're trying to pull that wire to get that stream back up and running. We're still
Home
working on it.
Young. See.
Producer Jorge's down there with a hard hat digging.
Wait a second. Why did it have to be Producer Jorge?
Of
well,
because
he's off his shift. I said it was me earlier. I've been in down in the hole too with the dirt.
Okay, why do we all all the Latinos have to be the guys doing
this?
So
there's a lot of Latinos here. Sit down. Happy birthday. We lost him a few years ago. Alan Thicke, of course the dad on Growing Pains.
My favorite TV dad, Christopher.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Producer yes. Laura and producer Lindsay were fired up about Growing Pains. They love the show.
Great show.
Mike! I love that show.
Producer Lindsay?
I mean, I'm a big Alan Thicke fan, too.
Like, of course, father of Robin Thicke.
I didn't even realize that he was no longer with us until
really?
I put it on our list today, and then I was telling it to Sedano. I was
yeah,
like, oh,
do you know
I'm
the
so
story
sad.
Of how he passed away? He passed away. So he loved hockey, right? He was a big hockey guy, and he was, like, at a hockey rink, I remember reading, and, like, had a heart attack. It was crazy.
No way.
Yeah.
Really? He seemed like a young guy, too. How old was he when he died? He was young, right? In his 60s, early 70s?
I
think he was 50. Let's see. He's 1947 to 2016. So.
Yeah.
See, Cap, that's why sometimes you got to be careful what you put in your system, you know?
I do know. I do know indeed.
You know, you can't be getting crazy on some of those wild nights like you used to back in the old Hacksaw Hamilton days.
Yeah, here it is. It was here in Burbank, December 13th. I knew it. I remember this. December 13th, 2016. Thick collapse while playing ice hockey with his son, Carter.
Oh, at Pickwick.
Yeah, at Pickwick Gardens in Burbank. The manager of the rink said he was talking and even joked to his son to take a photo while he was being wheeled out on a stretcher.
Oh,
Thick
God.
Died later in the day of a type A aortic dissection at Providence St. Joseph Medical Hospital in Burbank.
And was he 69 years old?
69.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's way too young, man.
It's also National Pig Day.
National Pig Day.
Yeah. I like it. Remember when I did the bacon diet?
Well, Alan Thick definitely liked some Canadian bacon. I know that.
Yes, I remember your bacon diet.
Sedano
yes,
and Cap continues now.
Yeah, thank you, Christopher. I forgot we were live here. I forgot.
Nice work.
Yeah. Alan Thick, my favorite TV dad. Do you have a favorite TV dad?
I would say, what was the TV dad's name on the Fresh Prince of Bel Air? What was his name?
Oh, Uncle Phil.
Yeah. I liked him. He was good.
Yeah. Uncle Phil was good. Yeah, awesome. I would agree. Uncle Phil is a good one. He's in my top three for sure.
Mm-hmm. Bob Saget, Danny Tanner,
I mean, Danny Tanner's fine.
I loved him. He was great. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah, may he rest in peace as well. A lot of TV dads no longer with us. Yeah.
How about Ward Cleaver? Anybody know who that is?
Who?
Ward Cleaver?
Yeah, my dad used to make me watch Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, Beaver's dad?
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
He's a very rational guy.
I've seen the show, but I've never really seen the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, is tonight Noche Hispana across the league, or is it only in certain places? Because I'm looking at the TNT game, and the Celtics have Los Celtics on it today.
Wait, hold on. Let me turn. Really? Let me see. Listen to this.
Well, now it's back TNT. In the studio.
Oh.
So they're back in the studio now. But
it feels so cool that I have the voice remote control now. I know everybody else has had it forever. I mean, yesterday I learned how to use Siri, and about a month ago I learned how to use the voice remote control so I can say cool things like, listen to this. ESPN. Then it goes right to it. Oh, look at this. This is great.
Cap, that's
Ole Miss
awesome.
At Kentucky. College basketball. Look at this.
Yeah. I said TNT, though, is the thing.
Yeah. TNT. Let's see. TNT. Atlanta at Boston. And we're in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I said to you there.
I know
studio.
You did. But now I can confirm it.
Oh, thanks for the confirmation.
Yeah.
Howard Alonzo tweets us and says, Sedano, scary that he, Alan Thick, had the same death at the same hospital as John Ritter, apparently, in Burbank.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
John Ritter, Three's Company, huh?
Yeah.
Now, that was a great show, Three's Company.
Oh, Family Matters, Laura. Mm-hmm. Laura, you like Family Matters?
I love that show.
Yeah, Mr. What was his name?
Carl Winslow.
Winslow.
He was
Carl
a police
Winslow.
Officer.
Yes. Right.
Wait,
right.
Somebody remind me. Family Matters. Who's in that show?
Steve Urkel.
Urkel. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. That's all you have to say.
I remember I used to love watching the show just because the girl had my name. I don't know. It was weird. But
at Unique?
Oh, Laura, right.
Yeah, Laura.
Hello, Laura.
Oh. Yeah.
That's pretty good Urkel.
Hello, Laura. I saw Urkel. He was at that Super Bowl party I was at.
Was he dressed as Urkel?
No, he was just Jaleel White.
Just kidding.
Must have been an
he was
party.
Stefan, huh? He was dressed as Stefan.
Yes, he was more Stefan, yes. But it is Noche Latina in the NBA. They have Los Hawks and Los Celtics on their jerseys.
Nice.
Today. I like that. Are the Lakers going to wear Los Lakers tonight?
They better.
I mean, you know, what's going on there?
They better.
Noche NBA. Do you know that, Cap?
Noche NBA.
Yeah,
NBA. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, I told you guys, like, my Spanish is not very good. It's not even remotely good, but there's a few things that I do understand. Comprende.
Yeah.
Including that.
Yeah.
So.
Will you buy a Los Lakers shirt?
I would love to buy a Los Lakers shirt. I have my Lakers t-shirt, and I was like, you know what? I may put on my Lakers t-shirt today, and then I was like, they're playing Dallas. I don't know if that would be a good idea today.
Man, Luka is so good, by the way. All right, so you had a thing. We were talking about something, and you said there are two. What the hell were we talking about?
I'll tell you what we were talking about. We were talking about LeBron.
Oh, that's what it was.
And if LeBron were to shut it down.
Oh,
because,
right. Cause I said you would crush him if you
right,
shut it down.
Right.
Yes.
So, look, there are two sides to this story. If LeBron James decides we're not going anywhere and my knee hurts And I'm probably better served at 37 years old to shut it down now and prepare for next season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's two sides to this. There's the emotional side, where as a fan, you would probably be angry. Like, hey, LeBron, I don't care, man. As long as you can run up and down the floor, get out there and play. And then there's the realistic side, which is the smart side, which is, hey, I understand you're hurting. I also know that we're not going anywhere this year. So the smartest thing you could do is get your body right for next year and do it now. So that's the inner conflict of emotional side where you might get angry at LeBron versus the realistic side where you know it's the smart move. If they lose again tonight, because LeBron said the other night after the game, we just got to get a win. If they lose tonight and they start spiraling downward and there's 15 games to go and they're on a 5 or 6 game losing streak, dude, shut it down, LeBron. I would understand. Would you?
I mean, I would. I'm shocked that that's your position. By the way, this portion of the show is presented by Alignment Health Plan, changing healthcare one person at a time. I feel like you're lying. I feel like you'd still crush him somehow.
Well, look, I think that sometimes as a pro athlete, if your mindset is always championship or bust, and you come to the realization that championship is not happening, then at the latter part of the year, when you're carrying an entire team and franchise on your back and it hurts your knee really bad, mm-hmm. there's a time where the smart guy says, time to shut it down.
Okay. I mean, I'm with you. I would agree with that. I'm curious. I don't know if the fans would feel that way. And maybe they would. I feel like anyone who's rational would feel like that makes a ton of sense. I mean, the Lakers play-in scenario is holding on by a very thin margin at the moment is what
it's Hoftel. You know what Hoftel is?
No, what's that?
Hanging on for dear life. Hoftel.
Did you just make that up or is someone
no.
else actually?
No, that's something that is a real thing. Hoftel. Has anybody else ever heard of H-O-F-D-L? Hoftel?
I've heard of Hoddle, but not Hoftel.
Yeah, Hoddle.
Hanging
I've
on
heard.
For dear life.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, maybe I did just make it up. Okay, fine.
That's what I thought.
All right, maybe so
HODL is a crypto term, like hold on,
yeah,
for,
hold
dear
on
life.
For dear life is HODL.
Hold on
yes.
for
That's probably
dear
what
life.
You were thinking of, and you just well, added
you
an extra
it?
Letter. HODL.
HODL.
Hold on.
That's like a crypto term people use on the internet.
But they don't throw in the F for
instead
Ford?
Of holding, instead of hold like crypto, they write HODL, and they created the acronym hold on for dear life.
Yeah, but they need the F.
No, but they, you know. They don't use the F.
It's like when you you just hold on dear life.
Okay. Well, in cycling, when you're riding in a group and the strongest riders are up front and you are in their slipstream and you're just working so hard just to hang on and they're working 30 or 40 times harder because they're out front and they're dealing with the wind and you're back there breathing heavy, it's like I'm hanging on for dear life, Hoftel. And that's where that comes from. Not the crypto world, the cycling world.
I just put like Hoftel in a Twitter search, and there's not a lot of them. I got to be honest with you.
Not a lot of Hoftels, huh?
No.
All right, maybe nobody else uses it except me.
I mean, there are some, but not very many. Is what
I'm going to try
saying.
And turn it into something big here. It's my
I mean, the
thing.
Problem is that you've already got bad branding because everyone's like used to saying HODL on the internet.
HODL.
Yeah.
Versus Hoftel.
Correct.
I think the F kind of breaks it up a little bit. I like it. Hanging on for dear life.
You know.
You do you, Cap.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Who are we to judge at this point?
Right.
All right, listen. Coming up next, if you thought it was bad now with the Lakers, wait till you hear what I have to tell you about the landscape here moving forward in the Southland when it comes to NBA basketball. We'll get to that in just a moment.
It is Sedano and Cap. A Fat Tuesday, boys. Live imaging. Because we're having a lot of under construction problems. So we can't record stuff right now. We can't pull clips. But we're here. In the flesh. You guys there?
Yeah,
I'm here. And I'll tell you something right
flesh.
Now. I like this. We should do this live and in the flesh every day.
Our boss, the great Amanda Brown,'s got a hard hat and a jackhammer. She's back there trying to fix the stream. But we're working on it, everybody. We're working on it. On this day in 1991, the band Oasis was formed.
They hate this song, by the way.
Thanks for telling us that now.
I'm just saying Oasis hates this song.
Why?
I don't know why. It's a good
song.
Well,
because it's that kind of thing where it's like, we don't want to just be known for the one song and blah, blah, blah.
It is also National Peanut Butter Lovers Day.
Oh, I love a good Laura almost died.
I can die.
You're allergic to peanuts. Yeah. We were just having that conversation with one of our new guys, Sam Pines.
Deadly allergic.
He's also allergic to peanuts?
No, we were talking about stuff and the EpiPen. Do you have an EpiPen, Laura?
I do, and it's horrible.
Did you show Lindsay how to stab you with it in case you get peanuts?
No.
Why is that funny, Sedona?
I can't imagine being allergic to peanuts because peanut butter is like one of my favorite foods ever.
Disgusting. How do you find out that you're allergic
to peanuts? You eat peanuts and then you swell up and can't breathe.
Well, you know what they tell you to do with children, like babies, is that they tell you, like literally, to find out if they have a nut allergy, right? Like that you give them some peanut butter, but you have to like park by like next to a hospital, basically. And you just kind of observe them, and then...
We should try that with Cap. Cap, let's drive you to a hospital and then just put stuff in you and see what you're allergic to.
What else besides peanut butter would you like me to try?
If you start foaming at the mouth, we'll just...
Bee stings.
We'll leave you outside.
Bee stings. I've taken a bee sting.
I am allergic to those.
Really? Okay. How'd you find that? You got stung by a bee?
Mm-hmm. It gets very, very like swollen and puffy. I've never nearly died, like had a near death experience, but it gets a little out of control.
But are you serious, Laura, that if you have peanut butter, like you could, come on, for real?
No, yeah. So when I was little, my brothers loved PB&J sandwiches. I never wanted one. The smell would, like, I would just feel gross. One time my friend brought cookies with peanut butter and I was like, they didn't smell like peanut butter, so I took a bite, and I literally had to get rushed to the hospital. And then, like, maybe 2 years ago, it just got really bad where I went to the hospital. And when I started here, I told Raj, and Raj was like,
the great producer, Raj.
You know, they were like, hey, there's a peanut butter, chocolate cover, whatever. He's like, you want some? You want to try some? When I told them that I was allergic and I could die. And I was like, damn, bro, like, you don't like me that much? You just met me. He's like, no, I think it would be funny to see what happens.
Oh. Funny. Let's do a science experiment
on
you.
Yeah, no, I'm okay.
Well, Cap, you know what you could do is, have you ever been to the doctor where they do the allergen test?
Oh, that sucks.
I don't think I've ever taken an allergy test.
Yeah, so basically they lay you on your
Have you ever taken
stomach.
An IQ test?
What's that? What does IQ stand for?
Oh, sorry to jump on you, Sedona, but that was too good.
No, that was too good. That was good.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I kind of like you alive. You know,
and in the flesh.
Yes, yes.
Sedona and Cap continues now.
Sí, gracias. So.
I love the out cue.
Yeah. He's got to do the dismount. But an allergen test is basically when they put you on, like the table, like that you can lay down on at the doctor, or whatever. So they tell you to lay on your stomach, and then on your back they will do they will prick you with a bunch of little things.
They do what?
And they'll stab you with.
They
a bunch
like
of
poke
little,
you
like,
with the little needle, and then they put the thing in there.
Right, and they'll test to see what your body reacts to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't.
Have you ever done that?
I've never done it. No, I don't think I'm allergic to anything.
Well, if you've never had an allergic reaction, and you've never had that done, then you probably don't need to, because by now you probably would have known.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're 60, so yeah.
Well, all right. I mean, listen, young boy here. I don't think I have any allergies. I don't think I'm allergic to anything.
That's great, man. I'm doing my third one, like in 2 weeks. It sucks.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No, it's not fun. But we should have you do that. We should have you go to the doctor and, like, film it and let them just prick you with the little, like, needles and see what you're allergic to.
I'm into that because I'm going to tell you guys right now, A, zero fear of needles, okay?
Right.
And B, I wouldn't have a fear of needles if I were laying face down and I couldn't see them, so that's a second thing to consider. Mm-hmm. And then I really don't think I have any allergies to anything.
Well, you'd probably be allergic to something. Everyone's got to be allergic to something, I feel like.
Well, maybe if I found out that I was allergic to something, it would explain some things in my life. Like, I like that. I didn't know I was allergic to that. And look what it's done to me. I didn't know.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe, maybe you have a gluten allergy and we don't even know.
Right. Maybe that's why I'm so puffy lately.
Yeah. So, clearly we've been talking about the Lakers, right?
Clearly.
But here's one thing that I wanted to bring up because, I was at the Clippers-Lakers game, too, on Friday. And I was looking, I talk to both coaches regularly, right, when we do these things. As you know, Scott, like you go into these coaches' meetings, right? Like you talk to them off the record and off camera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and look, I feel like I have a really good relationship with Frank, and I feel like I have a pretty good relationship with Ty. Like I deal with Frank way more.
I feel like I have a really good relationship with Ty and only a pretty good relationship with Frank. They're just the opposite.
What do you know about Ty?
I know that he got stepped over by Allen Iverson.
He did. Yes, he did. As a Laker, by the way.
Right.
So anyhow, when I look at the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
and this is going to piss people off, man, but it's real. Like, I really feel this way. This isn't me trying to channel my inner Marcellus Wiley. They are set up for way more long-term success than the Lakers right now. It's crazy. When you look at their roster, Cap, they got a bunch of these young dudes on this roster, okay? Whether it's Terrence Mann or whether it's Amir Coffey, and they drafted this kid Brandon Boston in the second round. Like, this kid is, he's really good. Like, they have so many of these, like, good young guys, and I'm like, wow. Like, Ty's done a fantastic job of managing a roster that is, you know, one of my colleagues jokingly calls it, like, Zach Lowe likes to call these rosters that are, like, mishmashed, you know what I'm saying, together. Mm-hmm. He calls it, like, the land of misfit toys, like in Toy Story. And I feel like the Clippers are that. They're like the land of misfit toys, right, where it's these a bunch of these young guys, and then, like, a Reggie Jackson over here who was a guy back in the day was kind of like a max guy, but everyone was like, he's not a max guy, and then he got cut. He was barely in the league, and now he's, like, playing a big part for the Clippers. And then, like, Marcus Morris is pretty good, but, you know, whatever. And they've got all these guys on this roster who are like, yeah, they're a bunch of, like, really good, solid players. So they've got, like, a ton of role players. And then they trade for Norman Powell, who's really good. He's a little dinged up. He'll be back soon. Paul George looks like he's going to be back in a couple weeks. And obviously Kawhi. And like, I just feel like, as crazy as it sounds, barring the Lakers doing something insane that I don't foresee in the offseason, which is very possible. Look, crazy bleep happens all the time. The Clippers are in really good shape moving forward here for the next couple of years.
Well, when the Clippers and the Lakers played prior to the All-Star break, both teams were under 500. And now the Clippers are a game or two above 500. And, you know, what you're saying, George, doesn't seem that far-fetched to me, other than we're talking about the Clippers organizationally. But when you think about how the Clippers haven't had Kawhi Leonard all year, didn't have Paul George when they played the Lakers the last time, the Lakers did have LeBron James, they did have Russell Westbrook, they still couldn't beat this Clipper team of mishmash kind of players. It bodes well for the Clippers. I mean, if you're in the Clipper front office, you're probably thinking to yourself, when we get Paul George back, and then next season when we have a fully healthy Kawhi Leonard, theoretically for the whole season, we should be significantly better than at least this current Laker roster. And again, who knows what the Lakers will ultimately do. I have been saying all along they should hire Les Snead as their general manager, and they should just try and, you know, pull off miraculous moves. But what you're saying is it's just not that shocking, considering watching the head-to-head between the two teams and knowing who's on the Laker roster versus who's not available on the Clipper roster.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. Like, when you watch, like, the Clippers and how they've developed this team, Laura's got to be sick when she hears me say this.
Dude, but, yes, I was going to say it hurts.
But they're going to be good, like, really, really good. Like,
yeah, when?
Who, the Clippers?
Yeah.
Like, when they get those guys healthy, I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen this year, like, because, you know, Kawhi particularly is the biggest, you know, it's like 50-50 maybe, you know, is what I've been told. But next season, I mean, their roster will be Kawhi, Paul George, Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, Terrence Mann, Norman Powell, Luke Kennard. They've got Bledsoe and Batum there, Robert Covington. Like, all those guys are really good players, like players that any team would take in a playoff rotation. And then they still have Zubats, who I'd also say is a really good player, even if he only plays like 20 minutes. And then those young guys I mentioned, Mann included, Amir Coffey, Brandon Boston. They're in really good shape.
This is
like,
why,
as a franchise.
Yeah, this is why the Lakers organizationally said to Jerry West, hey, we're not honoring the tickets anymore. We don't need you working over there, building a good roster, maybe a better roster than ours, beating us head-to-head. And we'd like to be able to sell these tickets. We're taking them back. I'm not joking.
I mean,
I'm being serious.
Had anything to do with it, is my guess. My guess is just because he's a part of the Clippers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's a part of the rival. I'm putting that in quotes across the hall. And now you're making this point that they've got Jerry West and he's building this roster, and the Lakers have Rob Pelinka and he's built the roster that LeBron told him to build. And we see the difference.
Yeah, it could be an interesting stretch here. Like, if Kawhi is healthy, if he can be Kawhi again, and they just, you know, because it's hard to win a championship. So, like, saying, oh, they're going to win a championship, like, is, you know, I mean, anybody can say it, but the fact of it materializing is very difficult because there, in any sport, right, there's so many variables. Injuries are crazy. Because guys are doing stuff with their body, whether it's basketball, football, even baseball, right, to some extent.
What is baseball? I don't know what that is. What is baseball?
We'll get to that later. But they're doing stuff to their body because everybody's bigger, stronger, faster. They're putting this crazy torque on their body, right? There's so many things that can happen and go wrong. But I just really like the way they've built their team, man. Like, they have built their team for the short term, although it didn't work out because of injuries. And the long term, like, they're good. They're good. Like, Lawrence Frank, Jerry West, those guys have done a good job.
Right. But they're still the Clippers.
Listen, they are.
You can change the owner. You can change the general manager. You can
agree
superstar
with
players at $40 million a year. But some reason.
But it does, like, you know, I mean, agreed. They'll never win the town. I'm not saying they'll win the town over. That's ridiculous. But what I'm saying is they absolutely are built to be a legit contender and a title favorite, even perhaps, for the next couple of years. And I just think that they're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper because they keep doing a really good job at player development, which is something the Clippers never did.
Well, they may be built for it. The question is, can they actually go do it?
Now, I don't know. I mean, but I'm just saying, like, if you're the Lakers, there's a lot of problems here. And look, it's the Lakers, right? The theory that is they can fix it. You know, hopefully this offseason will bear out to be a situation where they can fix it. But
if they can't fix this roster, George, if they can't get rid of Russell Westbrook, if they don't at least give some serious consideration to the possibility of moving Anthony Davis based on what they might be able to get back for him. If they don't do anything, and this roster is virtually the same, and when I say virtually, I just mean the three guys. If those three guys are on the same team next year, gosh, I hope these guys spend the entire offseason training together, working out together, and thinking to themselves, we're about to prove the world wrong. Because there's nobody who's going to believe that they can be better next year based on this year and based on who they've got.
Yeah, because, look, this notion of trading LeBron is ridiculous. And, by the way, we're not alone on that. There's a Laker great who also believes that. We'll get to some of that on the other side. Plus, some more great national days and birthdays and this day in, you know, the world, anniversaries,
et
cetera.
Don't forget about Sedano and Cap Bingo, which has been expanded now.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do have that. Let's do that on the other side, too, because they did expand it to the five different rows now. They've added more categories. So we'll have that for you as well. Stick around. We are short show today, only until 5:30 because of Lakers Mavs. So we got 30 minutes to go here on 710 ESPN. What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lada, what do you got?
What's up? Okay, sorry. Chris is looking at me weird. I was like, what did I do? But anyways, that's not what you guys needed to know. So Cap, you are going to New Orleans, missing Mardi Gras, but if you can't be there, no worries, because there's two places here locally that you guys can go and celebrate. The first one is Caña Rum Bar, which I love. It's like literally across the street from us. They are having and introducing a new rum. It's called Rum Bayou, so you guys can come. They're going to be tasting that at 8:30 p.m. This says bring a friend, so if you guys can drink. I can't drink right now because I, you know, gave it up. We can only drink until Thursday. Do you want to jump in, Chris?
Well, I was just going to say you can bring a friend, though.
Not a friend.
A friend.
I'm going to bring a friend. 11-12.
11-11.
No, anyways. And if you're not in the downtown L.A. area, don't worry, because I was just told via Twitter by a listener that French Quarter Creole Bar and Grill in Bellflower is also doing Fat Tuesday, celebrating Mardi Gras. So if you want to do that in downtown L.A., Caña Rum Bar, or if you're in Bellflower. Chris, you're just looking at me.
Because I have a feeling Producer Laura is big in Bellflower. You ever been to Bellflower, Cap?
I'm not.
No,
great city.
I don't know if I've been to Bellflower.
Great city. Mm. You can get everything you need.
They got
and more.
Like De La Mall?
Restaurants there.
A little different
like,
type
like
of stuff.
Like Torrance. By the way, Chris, were you all in on the De La Mall conversation? Have you been?
So my first memory of the De La Mall, excuse me, I was eating a keto snack that Producer Lindsay gave me. Yeah. It's all in there. Was the movie Jackie Brown, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then I had to go explore, and it's an incredible mall. Incredible.
You right, get everything but did you, need. You know it's like a pickup joint?
I mean, I'm not picking up in malls these days. I like to work, you know.
But it's like Cougarlicious because
well, now that I heard that,
today.
You know, I do like the taste of a cougar.
Yeah, because it's
I like the chase.
Yeah, it's
That's why I wear the jaguar bracelet. To one of my beads is a jaguar. It represents the Cougars. The
I mean,
skull.
I'm telling you, go to that the Frida, the Mexican place, or Din Tai Fung, the Taiwanese place. There is people like you know circling that mall for action. You know,
Cap, do you like good Taiwanese cuisine on a Tuesday night?
You know, I really don't ever go with Taiwanese cuisine. You know, no, people say, hey, what do you want to do for dinner tonight? Usually, it's Italian, Mexican. I'm like, nobody ever says to me, let's go for some Taiwanese. What should I get?
Rachel doesn't say, hey, let's shake it up tonight and get a little Taiwanese action.
No. No, okay. She doesn't.
Frida Mexican cuisine, which you mentioned, Sedano. There's one in Cerritos as well. Next to the, not far from the Acapulco, and it's amazing. There's one in Westwood as well. They're a great restaurant.
Hey, Chris, you said you weren't, like, looking for...
I guess Sedano has nothing on that, but that's okay.
No, I said yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
You said you're not looking for breezies in the Del Amo Mall.
I might be, though, now.
Well, right, but you said you don't really use malls anymore to go looking.
If I'm going into a mall, it's like, oh, I got to go to Lululemon to get some of those ABC pants. I'm in, I'm out. They kind of look at me
ABC
and they go,
ABC pants are so good at
They
Lululemon.
Go, what size do you want? I'm like, yeah, I understand. I'm a bigger gentleman, but that's okay. They get them for me. And then we're out the door at like the Brea Mall. That's more my hood. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, I was picking up breezies all over the place in Brea Mall.
Okay. Yeah. And Brea, now where do you go? Where do you go rather than the mall?
To pick up breezies?
Yeah.
They come to me.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you get to it, you know, you become a more sophisticated man, you know.
Yeah. Breezy action on the golf course is always nice. You can find them there. Especially Black Gold and Yorba Linda. There's a lot of cougars hanging around there.
Is that
there
right?
There is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yorba Linda is very cougarlicious.
Yeah. They want to see me, you know, swing the club.
Swinging your big stick.
Huh? Oh, come on,
club.
Cap. You know,
Cap I mean, Linda. Why do you always have to be extra?
Sit down when Cap continues now.
Ay, Dios mío. Always extra.
What are you talking about? You walk up, you got a big driver. You
stop!
Got, it's big.
No!
Goes a long way.
Aye.
A lot of distance. That's all I'm saying. Big
okay,
driver.
I brought him down. He didn't even notice.
How would I notice?
Exactly, you wouldn't.
Ay, Dios mío.
You did not really bring me down.
Yes, I did.
Because I said big stick.
Oh, dude!
What is wrong with saying that?
I get it, but do we have to keep saying it?
Is it?
I'm just saying, like, bro, like, come on. Like, it doesn't have, we work for Disney. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, that's why when you get a shot in the back, what do they call that little shot they call that? When they get you in the back for allergies?
An EpiPen?
Nah, forget
Epidural?
It.
Epidural?
George said a word twice, and he's like, I'm like, wait, come on. What are you talking about here? You can't use that word.
But that's an actual word. That's an actual action, though.
Right, and so is a big stick. Because like sometimes you get a stick.
But I'm not talking
big.
About. Like I was clearly not talking about.
So the Lakers tonight, right, guys?
I'm just not. I mean, this is silly.
Like
you got to leave something to the imagination. You know what I'm saying? Like is you know it's okay.
I got
you
the
know?
Reference cap. It was a joke.
Thanks,
like you talk with a big stick. Like it's like a you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
We
I
get
walk
it.
With it. You talk with it.
I mean, even Christopher ran from you. Think about that.
Well, he had to do an LQ. He had to get back to trying to put the radio station back together.
No, that's not what he did.
He's busy.
I mean, busy. Yes, he's busy.
He's busy, but that's not why he ran out of this studio.
Oh, please. Give me
you
a break.
You ran him out.
Oh,
tú
give me a break.
Eres.
Extra.
Un travieso.
Oh, whatever.
If un that's, travieso. If that's, can if, you say if, travieso?
Travieso.
No, T with a T.
Yeah, I said that. T.
No, you travieso. Sounded like a D. You
know? Nah, T.
Travieso.
What does that mean?
Laura, tell them what un travieso is.
Un travieso. It means like you're always just doing shenanigans.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know that, that was the exact literal translation. Travieso? Como se
dice a rascal. You're a rascal. Kaplan.
Yes, a rascal. A rascal is a good word. I do like a rascal.
A rascal.
All right, get us back to a little Sedano and Cap. Bingo, because the bingo card has been filled out now, George, and it's looking like we're going to have a real solid game of bingo here. That's what it's looking like. It's looking like we're like 85 years old and we're in a bingo parlor, darling.
We should update with something about Cap and extra.
Papa is just said like a funny gif of like Foghorn Leghorn spanking the dog. You know, the dog that always him and he used to go at it in the Looney Tunes cartoons. You remember that or no?
No.
Did you watch cartoons?
Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn, I'm familiar with. Smacking a dog around, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I'm,
you know,
I'm
there was like a dog. He had like a dog on the farm that he always was like his little rival. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The sheepdog.
Yes. Thank you, Lindsay.
I'll have to look at Papa Ish's tweet.
You're like, you know, what he's saying is you're like, you know, you're that, you deserve a spanking every once in a while.
I don't know. Maybe I should give the spanking every now and again, too.
I was going to say, speaking of like innuendos, I feel like the spanking is more, you know.
I'm going to run Laura. She's going to take my mic down again.
No, not yours. No.
Oh, look at me. I'm so offended. She's taking my mic down too, bro.
Oh, a lot.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Don't be that offended. It's okay. It's her job.
I'm offended.
Ay, Dios mío. Siempre algo contigo, travieso.
I got half of that.
What did you get?
What did you get? That part. I don't know, something about contigo with me, and then travieso, shenanigans, and I only got a little bit of that.
Well, that's rascal. You're a rascal.
Okay. I like that.
Yes.
All right.
That should be your new nickname. Scott El Travieso Kaplan.
I don't know. I kind of like the cap. The cap is the one I really like.
No, travieso. No. That'd be great.
No. No one speaks for the cap. The cap speaks for the cap.
Ay, Dios mío.
All right. Where were you? Were you on to something here?
I was actually going to ask you. I just realized.
Yeah.
It's March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA playoffs start in 5 weeks and change, almost like mm-hmm. six.
Yeah.
And I have completely botched getting my passport just in case I get sent to Toronto.
Oh, I was wondering. You were like, "Hey, I got to get my passport." I'm like, "For what?" And then I was like, "Oh, right, Toronto."
I'm trying to see what is like the rush of rushes you can get.
Well, do you have a passport?
Yes, I do. It's just a renewal, and I have the picture and everything.
Okay, so I had to do this recently, and I, as you know, certain things for me are really, really difficult. So if you said to me, hey, look, your passport's going to expire, and you need to get a new passport, like for me, that frazzles my brain. Oh, my God, how do I do it? Where do I go? Who's going to help me? Like,
oh
I
God,
literally
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Could not handle this on my own.
So what did you do?
I wound up, you send your passport. I went on to whatever website. I don't remember what it was. But you send your passport. They send you back the new passport with your new picture. And then you're like, but wait, where's my old passport? I want it because, you know, I went to a lot of cool places. I want to hold on to it. Then they send it back to you weeks later. And there's like a hole punched through it that indicates you can't use it anymore. But, yeah, it was actually quite an easy process, and if you're willing to pay the extra money, they'll rush it right through and you get it.
Well, I'm going to need to pay the extra money. I have no choice because I've been I've been negligent and I have been
and delinquent. You've been a procrastinator.
Un delincuente.
If you've had one before, which I'm assuming you have,
yes,
then it's a lot quicker than if you're just getting one for the first time because you're already in the system and everything. They just got to renew it for you.
Yes.
So I feel like you could get it. I got mine when I went to Mexico in like 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I paid
now,
the
did
rush.
Did you go to a place or did you do it all by mail?
I think
you go to FedEx and they'll actually put like a tracking thing on it for you and everything.
I didn't do that. I think I don't remember what I did, but I did the whatever the expedited. I had to pay like an extra $60.
I got the
bucks.
Application here and I have the picture and I just have to I fill out the application. But yeah, I have the picture.
Once you figure out how to do it, it happens pretty quickly. Does anybody here have a global entry card?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
it.
So now let me ask a question because I have a global entry. Does global entry work? Is it just a U.S.-Mexico deal, or is
no.
it like, do you need
No, it's global,
global
entry.
Bro.
It's like okay. TSA for other countries.
Oh, because I was going to ask, do you need a passport then?
Oh,
no, it's for when you come back in from another country, you can just do the global entry from mm-hmm. the other country. That way you don't have to go through
all the customs.
All the customs stuff over here on this end.
Oh. Yeah. All right, well, I'm glad I got it.
Great investment.
I mean, did you literally just think it was a Mexico thing when the thing is called global entry?
Well, I just didn't know because I've never really used it other than going from the U.S. to Mexico and Mexico back to the U.S. So I was going to suggest to you that if you have one, do you still need a passport to go to Toronto or can you use your global entry?
No, I can't just – you need the passport. You can't just do the global entry. Global entry is only to come back.
Wait, you don't need a passport to go to Mexico to go to Canada.
I mean, I know, but it's more of a pain in the ass.
Because I was going to say, I went there when I was 19 and I never got a passport until like 10 years ago. So just saying.
Yeah, I drove up across the border one time from Buffalo to Toronto and didn't need a passport. Didn't have one.
But it's a much bigger pain in the ass if you don't. Especially now. When was that? When did you go?
Oh, dude, this is a long time ago. Maybe what you should do, George, is maybe you should
tell everybody. Pre-9/11, I presume?
Oh, yeah. You should tell everybody at ESPN, you're like, hey, listen, whatever you do, don't send me to Toronto because my passport, I don't have it.
I actually don't mind going to Toronto during the playoffs because it's actually warm there. Like, my issues with Toronto are like now, like January through March, basically.
Yeah I understand. I wouldn't want to go either.
Which is why it's like, bro, when Kawhi left, I was like, man, I love Nick Nurse and all. You know, he's a great dude, but thank God.
I hear Toronto's a great city. I've only been there once.
Oh, beautiful.
I don't know it really well.
It is a let me tell you something. Canada's got some beautiful cities. Toronto and Vancouver, chief among them. Montreal as well.
Yeah, I don't know Montreal. Vancouver,
Montreal
very nice.
Is more French-Canadian, so, I mean, that would be it could be a little more challenging. But Toronto, I mean, Toronto's like New York. You know, it's beautiful. It's like it looks like New York.
Yeah. I only go into Vancouver on my way up to Whistler. You know, like I really have not spent a lot of time in Vancouver either. I got to get up there, man. Spend time.
You need
time.
To do these things.
I know. Got to find time in life, George.
Yeah. Hey, so real quick, because I know we got to do Radio Tinder here in a second. So we were talking about this a little bit where, you know, everyone's here like, oh, they should trade LeBron. And we've been trying to tell you, probably not a smart idea. And now, you know, if you don't believe us, will you at least believe Shaq is the answer here or the question here? Because Shaq had this. Do we have the audio, the Shaq audio?
Yes, we do.
All right.
You want me to do it before you guys play it?
Oh, go ahead. Do
you ready?
Do it what Shaq would
Chuck,
say about LeBron.
Hey, Chuck. You know, Lakers. And Chuck is LeBron.
How's that? I bet that sounds pretty much like Shaq.
No.
You don't think?
Do it one more time.
Hey, Chuck. Let me tell you that about LeBron and the Lakers.
All right, now let's actually hear Shaq.
Okay, let's hear it.
When you put together a talented team or a perceived talented team, they expect you to do well. But if you trade LeBron, you'll never win again. So you have to, you know, make a decision. If you put LeBron around the right guys, he's definitely going to win.
Mm. My impression,
I mean, that doesn't sound like you. Again, no, you sound like the grandfather in The Simpsons. Yeah.
It's Shaq's grandfather. That's my new impression name for
Grandpa
that.
Shaq.
Yeah, Grandpa Shaq. That's right. It's interesting what he says, though, that if you put LeBron around the right players, how great he can be versus the other way around, which is putting the right players around LeBron. Like, kind of made it seem like LeBron's not the centerpiece, but he is.
All right, let's tackle that before we do Radio Tinder. I'll have a quick thought on that, and then we can do Radio Tinder to wrap up the show because we're off at 5:30 today. Okay, Travieso?
You got it, rascal.
All right, Linz, go do Radio Tinder, and then we'll finish off. Give us like 2 minutes on the back end so I can answer Cap's question about LeBron and Shaq or whatever.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. So Troy Aikman is all but finalized, I guess, all but unofficially official, leaving Fox for ESPN, where he's expected to earn more than $18 million per year for calling games. Yeah. So this ends a longtime partnership with Joe Buck at Fox, where the two had been calling NFL games together since 2005. Or will it? Now there's rumors that ESPN may try to pry Buck away from Fox and pair him with Aikman on Monday Night Football. Do you guys see Buck and Aikman pairing up again at ESPN this next season? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe right and say, yeah, I could see it. Because I always felt like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman had a beyond television relationship. Like, I always felt like those guys were really close outside of just the broadcast booth. So it surprised me from the beginning that Troy Aikman was willing to leave. Now, look, the money talks. But if I'm ESPN, I would love to get Joe Buck also, because not only can he do football, he can do baseball, he can do golf. I mean, there's a lot of versatility you get with Joe Buck. So I think it's very realistic that ESPN will try to get Joe Buck away from Fox.
Yeah, I'm going to swipe right. I mean, it seems like – I always feel like where there's smoke, there's fire with that kind of stuff. So I would say yes, and it would make all the sense in the world. And although if you're Joe Buck, I mean, that would probably mean – I mean, would he still try to negotiate to call the World Series on Fox? Like, how would that work? You know what I mean? Like, Alex Rodriguez works for both. So, I mean, is that possible? Because then that would change the World Series landscape too. Like, or is he just willing to be like – okay, I'm done with baseball anyway. Like, I'll just call Monday Night Football and the occasional ABC Super Bowl every 4 or 5 years or whatever.
Well, I mean, there's what could he do for ESPN? Is it Sunday Night Baseball he could call? You know,
Yeah, but they
Well, they just gave that to Carl Ravage, so I don't see that them moving that, like, literally as they just announced it, basically.
I know, but, I mean, listen, Steve Levy's done a nice job, and he's been a great, you know, team player for all these years. And
yeah, I don't know if Buck wants to call every Sunday night, though, either. That's the other thing, you know. Well, because maybe, if he's doing Monday Night Football, he can't do that either.
Well, maybe he just puts together some kind of a package where he stays close to the game of baseball, which is obviously where his roots are.
He has all the leverage in the world right now, really.
Yeah.
You know, seems like.
Just stay away from basketball, Buck. I'm just working my way up the play-by-play ranks, okay?
All right, next one. So Chandler Parsons recently appeared on the All the Smoke podcast where he told a pretty funny story about a night out in L.A. thanks to Kobe Bryant. Parsons said that while playing for the Rockets, Bryant had set he and his teammates up to party at a nightclub in L.A. He said the Rockets had a blast and they partied till 2 a.m. And that's when a waitress came over and handed Parsons the tab for $22,000. So, of course, he panicked knowing that his card was going to get declined. He said his dad is his money manager and he freaks out on him anytime he goes on like crazy spending sprees. But then the waitress gave him a pen and told him to sign for Mr. Bryant. So, you know, turned out Kobe was doing him a solid. Have you guys ever been stuck with a huge tab or picked one up for somebody else? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe left. And I'm going to say that my answer to this is I've had one picked up, but I can't say that I've ever had to pick up a big one like that.
And you haven't done it out of like the generosity of your own heart?
Not for $22,000, no.
No, not $22,000. But I mean, no. $22,000 is relative based on what people make. Like $22,000... in that situation is probably like, I don't know, a grand for us, you know?
Well, even that would be like a little
bit
beyond.
Or like $750 or $850 or whatever.
No, I'm not picking up anybody's tab for that. But
really?
Yeah, no. But I will tell you that.
You've never paid for a bill that much, like that high? You've made a lot of money in this world, man.
Not if I'm not there. If I'm there and I'm in on it, it is conceivable.
Well, okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying something you haven't been for, but I'm just asking simply based on when you've been for.
Yes, but I was going to tell you a different version of this, which is I was in a restaurant one night. I'm sitting there minding my own business.
Yeah.
And who walks into the restaurant? Junior Seau. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Junior sees me. I see him. He says hello. I say hello. He goes up to the front because he ordered takeout. When I got done, I said, hi, can I have the bill? They were like, oh, Mr. Seau already paid for it. So I love when people do stuff like that.
Yeah,
very
you
nice.
Love free stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I like being in the same position that Chandler Parsons found himself in.
Not before sweating for a minute, though.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he was definitely sweating.
Yeah, but Chandler Parsons has made hundreds of millions of dollars, so that's a little different.
I don't think he was worried about the money as much as it was his dad who was going to kick his ass. You spent $22,000 in a nightclub drinking with your friends? Are you crazy?
I mean, listen, I'm just saying. If you've been out with some ballers, you know that, you know, especially depending on what city you're in, that can happen here. It can happen in L.A. or Vegas or Miami really fast, or New York.
Mm-hmm.
Canelo didn't pick up your big dinner tab when you guys all went?
Actually, Canelo, I don't think Canelo paid for it that night. But I don't know. And I don't know who paid for it. Somebody paid for it. It wasn't me.
Right. Maybe his manager or something.
It might have been Canelo who paid for it. You know what? Actually, probably was Canelo.
Didn't you say he, like, gave a bunch of money to the guys working in the back in the kitchen?
I don't know if he gave the money. I just know that he went in the back in the kitchen because they told him, hey, there's a lot of Mexican dudes that work back here, and he wanted to go back there and take pictures with them and high-five them.
Got
to
take care of his
people.
I think it might have been a different story where he made sure the guys in the back like got tipped. So, yeah.
I am swiping right on this. Not $22,000, but the equivalent of what I would make. Yes, I have paid for a lot of big dinners for friends and family, and I don't care. Like, I'm good. Like, if I'm here to have a good time, I'm here. And especially if I invite, right? Like, if I say, hey, let's all get, like, let's say my childhood friends, right? Let's say we're all go on vacation or something together. One of the nights, I'll just say, it's on me. Let's go. Let's go to some restaurant somewhere, blah, blah, blah. And let's go. You know what I mean? So I'm good on that. I have had Chris Paul pick up a tab on me once. That's the one I can remember most recently.
How much was it?
Mm-hmm.
We were at some – okay, so it was his birthday, and he was having dinner at the same restaurant we were having. It was me and some of the crew. We had just done one of his games. And we got there. They kept the restaurant open late, and he was he picked it up for us.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you work the media right there. You buy him dinner.
I mean, I guess. All right, real quick on your Shaq thing. You said what? That are you? You're insinuating that, or that he's insinuating something about LeBron?
No, I mean, listen, it's hard for me to believe though that Shaq would say, "Hey, if you get rid of LeBron, you'll never win again, like ever." Like, because
what he's saying is that I think players will be like kind of turned off by that.
I can understand that. I can understand where the, you know, the greatest player of the generation feels quote unquote disrespected by the organization.
You don't want to be the team that trades LeBron.
Yeah, and look, if they would have traded Kobe, it would have been really bad for them too. Like, if that thing would have actually went through, you know, back when he wanted a trade, like, that would not have ended well for them either.
Yeah, this is it's an interesting point by Shaq that you have to play out LeBron till the end. You know, that you need to keep him in a Laker uniform till his career is over. You need to, you know what? You need LeBron so bad, you're going to have to just accept the fact that he and Bronny are going to be playing together in a Laker uniform.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? So, we'll see.
Any chance? All right, make a prediction tonight. Lakers win, Lakers get blown out.
I mean, why does it have to be that binary? Like, the Lakers win, Lakers get blown out? Those are the
only
two options?
They just got blown out by an inferior team,
frankly.
I think the
Mavericks win the game, so.
I'm taking the Lakers to
win. Excellent work, Scott Kaplan. El Travieso, your new wrestling name, El Travieso.
That's right.
Can wear a mask, a luchador mask, and be called El Travieso. So, there we go. Laura's telling us to go. Great job, Lindsay and Laura. Laura's una traviesa right now with trying to get me off the air too quick.
We gotta go.
All right. Sleeve and Michael can wait a second, okay? These last 2.5 minutes are our shows, all right? 5:30 is their show. They can deal with it when they're on, okay?
Pay bills.
All right. Michael and Sleewa, Lakers pregame for the Dallas game is